Blog Talk Radio. And that's Ed Renee, that news for you. That's his new L on his new LP. Welcome to Word Sexy Radio, everybody. We thank you for tuning in on this Wednesday. January 2nd? I'm upset talking about July. I must be crazy. Must be still drunk from the other night. But anyway, here we go. We're doing our thing this evening, and we got a couple of guests that's going to be here. We're going to be letting them introduce themselves here in a few. But before we do that, I want to go ahead and see if I got my co-host here and see if he's here with me. Are you here, DB?
Yeah, it's me, man. Happy 2013, baby.
Hey, same to you, brother. Now, I know you had a good time. You got to tell us a little about what you did. I know it was off the damn chain, so go ahead and tell me what you did, bro.
Like, you know, in fact, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. You know, I needed to ask something to the audience because I find myself in a conundrum. I find myself, like, and it has to do, you know, well, long story short, you know, I met somebody. I have a question that I like to ask the audience.
Okay, well, go right ahead and ask the audience.
Right now? All right. Well, like I said before, I met somebody. And this is the dilemma I'm having. Like, she is, of course, you know, she's openly bi. Okay, I get that. All right. And she just
openly bi, did you say that?
Right.
Already in the show, we're doing it. Okay.
And but she's been in a relationship with another woman for the last 6 years. You know.
And now she wants to be involved with you.
Right. But she is still with this other woman, but she's basically talking about that, well, she doesn't want to be with me, but we're trying to get to know each other. But she's basically like, well, you know, it's not working out. And so I find myself in a conundrum. You know, why am I actually pursuing somebody who is, number one, already with somebody, and number two, you know, has been in a major relationship with another woman for the last 6 years?
Probably because it's fun shit. It's probably some fun ass shit. That's probably why you're doing it.
But see, that's the thing. I, you know, you get to that point in your life where, well, I'm at that point in my life where, you know, I'm not, you know, I've done that before. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't really want to, like, at this point in my life, I don't want to have to fight for anybody else's attention. And I damn sure don't want to have to fight for their affections.
I know that's right. Well, you know, I'm going to ask the chat room. You heard his question. So if you got something to say in the chat room, go ahead and do it. And anybody who's calling in, the number's 347-215-8539. It's Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio. We do it like that. But before we get some more responses to that question, I'm going to go ahead and get our guests in so we can give them a chance to talk about their books and get them up into the conversation as well, because we want them to be involved if they want to stick around. So what I'm going to do, we're going to see if we got our authors here. I'm going to go to these two numbers, and we're going to start off and start with 305. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Minx calling from Miami.
Hey, how you doing, Miss Minx?
I'm fine.
We've been waiting on you. We've been waiting on you. So, this question, since you miss Erotica, this damn question is definitely one that I know you're going to get involved in after we get you out the way with your book and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look, let me break the ice with you right now. Word Sexy Radio is Grown Folks Radio, so we say what the fuck we want to, and you can come and do whatever you want to and be yourself on this show, because it's just like that, okay? So don't be worried about it. That's why I don't get questions out, so we're going to do that. But before we go any further, let me see who this 203 number is.
Hello?
You a guest? Yes, how you doing? 203.
Good. How are you with Walter Rocky Rose?
Well, I knew it was you, baby. How you doing?
How
let me
are
tell you,
you
something, Rocky. Rocky, you had me fucked up for a minute, because I'm going to tell you, when you were talking to me, I don't know why, and you didn't say stuff to make me think you were a man, but I guess the word Chris, the way it was spelled, kind of threw me off. And then when you sent your bio, that's why I said, send me your bio, let me see this shit. When I read it, I saw you was a woman. I was like, damn, I was about to fuck up. But I was like, we got Mr. Rocky Roses here. She, you know, I mean, I don't know. It would have been, I don't know, but I'm glad to have you on the show.
I get that all the time. I get that all the time.
Well, the same thing with Red Snapper. They think I'm a woman until they saw my picture. They thought I was a woman for the longest, I'm going to tell you. But anyway, Glad to have you both on the show. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to give you both a chance to talk. I'm going to let Nyx go first and let us talk about her latest projects and what she's doing and all that. And then we're going to let you go, okay?
All right.
All right, so Nyx, tell us about yourself. Let everybody know who you are, which they already know, but still kind of just go ahead and give them a rundown of who you are and what you got going on.
Well, I'm Nyx, of course, author of Only the 305. Out here working on part two, which is called The King of Miami. Hopefully be released sometime before February, March. Other than that, I'm working on a numerous amount of projects this year that I can't mention for certain reasons, but to say I'm a busy lady.
Okay, so how is it working for the, is it LaFemme Publishing?
Yeah, LaFemme Patel Publishing.
Okay, how you like working for them?
Well, I like it. It's a family.
Well, you know, you said that kind of close and quickly, so I'm gonna leave that alone. But anyway,
ups and downs, you know.
Of course.
But at the end of the day, you know, CEO got our back, so it's all good.
So that's Michelle, right? Isn't that Michelle Cameron?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, all right. Okay. All right, so you got some new projects coming up, and tell us a little bit about this new book you got, or this is your latest project that's going on right now, the 305. Well, the 305, because I know you got the King of Miami. What you said that's coming out in February, but we're going to have you back so you can talk about that. So let's talk about your project now. If you want to talk a little bit about that, that's fine. You can do that, too.
Only in 305 is, I describe it in two words, hood sexy. I mean, I basically expose, like, the beauty and the beast of Dade County, which is Miami. No, it's about the wildlife. It's about women standing by and loving the men that only love the game. I mean, my book basically represents Miami. It's drama, it's the heat, it's the lust and the certifiable sexy that everyone loves. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it's what it is. So what inspires you to write these type of stories and I know how long have you been writing? Actually, you can answer both of those questions if you could.
I've been writing a very long time, all the way back to when I was a little girl. I was blowing my teacher's mind. They'll ask for a paragraph. I was writing a whole story. But I mean, I love writing books that's sexy because I'm not gonna say that I'm a freak, but
you're a freak, goddammit. Don't even try that shit. You're a goddamn freak. Don't even try that. This is Women's Sexy Radio. Don't be trying to play that game, okay?
Yeah, all right. I'm a freak, and it comes out a whole lot better on paper. I get to put my mind in play. So.
I know, that's right. But that's what it's about. You're supposed to do that shit. You know, you're supposed to, that's what you do. You create that story so people can have it, you know, and of course, they ask you, like they ask us who write erotica. How much of this is you, and who are you in the book, and all this shit? I know you get them questions.
I'm not going to say, to be honest, I'm a part of all the main characters.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Good answer. Good answer.
The guys that do the little ruthless things and nasty things, I'm a part of all of that.
You are? Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad to have you on the show. We're going to keep you going, so... the thing is we're going to go to our next guest, and we're going to come back to both of you, and we're definitely going to see how you feel about this question that DV threw at us. And I'm waiting on Cotton because she said she had something that she wanted to do as well, but for some reason she's not here yet, so we're going to go on forth. But if people want to get your books, Nyx, how would they be able to do that?
They can go to lffpublishing.com or either amazon.com. and get the book.
Okay.
It's also a book in Kindle. I believe right now it's on the Kindle for like $3.99, $2.99. Either one of them, they can even on Amazon.com, I believe they can sample a couple of the chapters and, you know. Yeah.
Okay. So you enjoy writing, I take it then. You say you bring all this out, right? All these little people that's stuck in your head.
I write all day long. A lot of people compare me to Zane, which is flattering. Some people say I'm a whole lot more graphic than her. But I'm working on a short story sex book, which will be my third book. And that's going to be hot and steamy, so I can't wait for that.
Okay, here's my question.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
All right, your characters. Where do you draw inspiration from? Is it the people around you? Are you a people watcher, or do you just know a bunch of freaks that you put in your book?
No, I'm a people watcher in my mind. I mean, my mind is a terrible thing. Like, I can see a man and visualize what I want to do for him because he's so damn sexy, and I just put it on paper. So, I feel like a lot of people ask me my lesbian scenes are so graphic. They say, are you bisexual? And I'd be like, no, I just know my love and I would do so well. So, that's it.
Okay. So how much of the shit that you've done that you put in your book?
A lot. I say about 90%. The other 10% is stuff I can't wait to do.
Okay, so how the hell you ain't a freak then? Shit, you up here bullshitting. Anyway, all right. Okay, so like I said, we're glad to have you. We want to keep you around because we're going to be talking shit in the second hour. So if you want to stick around, we always do relationship stuff in the second hour. And you're welcome to stick around and we can talk and get your input and all that. And, you know, just hang out with us.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay. All right, so now, Rocky Roses, who had me fucked up. Talk to us, baby. Tell us about you.
Well, Rocky's 27, from New Haven, Connecticut. Rocky's been writing for the past 13 years.
So we talking about ourselves, or are we talking about somebody else? Rocky is this, Rocky,
yeah,
Rocky.
That's
like he rests in third person and shit. Okay, all right, go ahead.
But yeah, I've been writing for 13 years now. My first novel actually just came out in October. I co-wrote with an ex-best friend of mine. It's titled I Win, You Lose, and it's a compilation of 6 short stories all dealing with domestic violence.
Okay.
I was a victim of it for 3 years.
So before you go any further, before you tell us any more, do I need to get serious now and not talk shit so I can hear this and, you know, get it to, you know, where we actually get serious about this subject? Because this is one that is very, you know, real.
Right.
Okay, so, and then after that we'll talk shit. Now, go ahead.
That's fine.
Okay.
But, I was a victim of it for 3 years, and I've been wanting to get my name and my talent out here, and I trying to help my ex-best friend get her name and everything out there as well. So we decided back in April to go ahead and do this compilation. So I finished my story. We started in April, and I want to say by mid-July, I was done with my 3 short stories. And,
Well, tell us, how did you overcome the situation you was in? How did you overcome that?
Not even so much as overcome. How did you find yourself in that position? Because
right.
a lot of people,
yeah,
you don't
just go
off
first,
say,
yeah.
A fifth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about how did you get there and then how did you get out of it? Yeah.
I got there. It was really like a lack of knowing who I was. I didn't think I had my own identity back then. So therefore, it was like, you know, I was with him to try to be somebody. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
You know, and the last thing was the night he tried to kill me. He literally tried to get me in a car.
It's amazing because, you know, you can be with somebody, you love them and everything, and then all of a sudden he or she may hit you, and then you're shocked because it happens to you, and you're like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. And then you start thinking you've done something to deserve it, or you've done something to yourself, to them, that you don't know what it was, and they just snapped, and then you were like, they'll start kissing your ass and try to do everything to make sure that they try to make it up to you, and then next thing you know, it happens again. So
exactly.
When you saw these reoccurring things happening, how did you I mean, what was going through your mind while all this was happening? Were you blaming yourself all the time?
I wasn't blaming myself. Like, I fought back most of the time when we fought. It wasn't just, okay, he hit me and that was it. Like, I'm a natural born fighter. It runs in the family. So the first time he hit me, I think I caught him off guard because I fought back. And sometimes when we would fight, he would take his frustrations from, like, his mother or his aunt. He would take them out on me because he couldn't hit them. So
wow.
I was like his human punching bag, basically. Like, I lost two kids behind him. He killed two of our kids. And it was like the night he literally dragged me down the street and I got arrested for protecting myself, I said, enough is enough. I said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore because if I don't stop it now, one of us is going to kill the other one, and it's damn sure not going to be me that's being put 6 feet under.
Okay.
So.
Well, yeah. Go ahead. Continue. Go ahead.
So, like, my therapy for getting over it is my writing. Like, I've always loved to write since, like, my sophomore year in high school. Always loved to write, and...
So, I understand your motivation for wanting to write because of the situation. So, is that going to be the area that you're only going to concentrate in, or do you think you'll branch out into some other genre or something in the future, or is this just where you want to be? Are you, like, going to go around and do speaking and stuff in that sense or whatever?
I want to do speaking. I absolutely do. I actually contacted all the area high schools in my area to start speaking at some of the high schools and junior high schools because you see a lot of domestic violence in even junior high schools, you know, where they may not see it physically or may not be there presently physically, but the constant text messages, the constant calls, who are you around, who are you with, all of that, it ties into domestic violence. But I also want to branch out and start dabbling in erotica because I love it.
Okay, that's the only reason why, because you love it?
No. I mean, I love writing it. I love the way it makes people feel. Like, on my Facebook, I do notes and stuff, you know, like little erotic notes, and the responses I've gotten from them, I never expected.
You be fucking motherfuckers up, huh?
I do. I absolutely do.
Explain that. Can I give us an explanation of that shit? I mean, you know, I just want to know. Tell us about that.
I don't know. It's just I want to say it's something I'm born with. I don't know.
So what do you be saying? I mean, give us an example of some shit you wrote, you know.
Let me see if I can bring something up real quick.
Yeah, bring something up. Was it something like you stuck his dick in her ass or something like that?
Oh,
Okay. Me, are you listening? Because we're going to get you to explain some of your shit, too. All right. So, you know that. All right. So, you know, we're going to get that now. Yeah.
Okay.
But while they're doing that, if anybody's listening and you want to call in, the number's 347-215-8539. It's Word Sex Radio, and this is the first show, not normally on a Wednesday of the year of 2013. We just wanted to do it because we didn't want to not do it this week. And, of course, Monday we know is New Year's Eve, which a lot of us was probably fucked up and wasn't thinking about no radio show. But, you know, that's what was going on, you know, getting sexed out or whatever you were doing. You know, you can even call in and tell us what you were doing that night, you know, if you want to expose it. Or you just want to keep it to yourself or take it to your grave, then don't tell us. But the number is 347-215-8539. This is Grown Folks Radio, Word Sexy Radio. So in the chat room, if you got something, please go ahead and write it in so we can get that question in to our authors tonight, Meeks and Miss Rose, who had me fucked up earlier. Okay. She's getting ready to do us now because she's got something she's going to say. So we're going to see where she's coming from. All right. DV, that question again. Now, what was it again? You said, why is it that you get yourself caught up with somebody that's got somebody? I'm using my own words other than that.
I'm like, huh? No, but no, like I said, you know, we can talk about, you know, everything that's going on in the world first, and then, you know, say that for the next hour.
Okay, we can do that. Now, Miss Rose, how did you come up with that name? I keep wanting to say Concrete Rose. I don't know why, but that's somebody else. but how did you come up with that name?
Rocky was actually a nickname I got from a coworker of mine that used to work with me at two different jobs. And with me and one of my exes that I was in an abusive relationship with, he came to my job one day and started picking with me, like picked a fight with me. And basically I whooped his ass when I was at work.
Okay.
And yeah, and my coworker was like, you know, he said, from now on, I'm going to call you Rocky. He said, because you don't take nobody's stuff. He said, so Rocky is your name from now on. And it kind of, you know, it stuck. And Rose is my mother's maiden name.
It sucks.
No, I said it kind of stuck.
Oh, stuck. Oh, I was going to say, you said it sucks. I was going to say, what the fuck you keep before then? No, go ahead. You're not going to talk shit, but anyway, go ahead. All right. So Roses is your father's middle name.
No, Rose is my mother's maiden name.
Maiden name. Okay, okay,
yeah,
I got it. Okay.
Maiden name. So I like the ring of Rocky Rose. So
Meeks, how did you get your name, Meeks? Because I want to know Meeks. Do you wear a lot of Meeks, baby? Or are you a Meeks? Secretly a Meeks, and you be sneaking up on motherfuckers? Well, what do you do?
Yes, I mean, the name Meeks just sounds sexy and freaky at the same time. I just like
sexy and freaky. You are a freak. You want to know the answer? Anybody who want to tell this woman she's a freak, call in. The number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. Let Meeks know that she is a freak. We'll do that. Okay. All right. So you like being a freak. So how does your freakdom start?
You say, how does my freak start?
How did your freakdom start? You wasn't born a freak, were you? I mean, you just happened one day. You were at school, somebody rubbed on you. You did something. How did shit start?
No, I think I was born a freak.
Okay, so
really?
You came out the womb and you was eating pussy when you was coming out. Well, no, you were. But, I mean, just tell us, what's up? How did your freakdom start? It had to be an incident that started you to let you know that this was you. This is what you wanted to do.
I don't know if my mama listening, so I can't really say who I am. Oh,
don't do that. You don't know if your mama listening. Don't have me at home. Did you not tell them this is explicit radio, grown folks radio? I told y'all before you come on Word Sexy. If you heard my commercials that I've been putting out on the web, and I've been putting them on Facebook, my commercials specifically state this is grown folks radio, and we cuss. And if you don't like cussing, don't listen. I do say that, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Uh-huh.
Well,
so,
like,
y'all
like
know what
mom,
y'all...
She went behind my back and got my book and read it, so... Kind of sneaky, so I don't know, but...
Okay, but we got a question for you from the chat room. They want to know the huge difference between freaky and sexy. They want to know what's the difference. You tell us.
Well, sexy can be just... something as simple as lingerie and laid back. You know, when you get into freaky, you are on all type of levels. You can be freaky and
I said, go ahead and explain, baby. Go ahead.
I mean, it's different when you just straight out freaky, because I can just meet you in the bedroom butt naked with the oil and the whip. That's something completely different.
That's S&M shit. Okay, all right. I got you. That's a whole nother level. You're right. Okay, so sexy is a state of mind, I guess, that you can be in and have your clothes this way or something, and you're just like looking good, but nothing can go. I mean, it don't have to go no further than that. But freaky is an act, something that's going to happen, that's going to go down, and there's going to be something that comes out of that, or comes out of him, or
that's
whatever, or her, or she squirts, or something.
Me.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, hopefully that answered the questions for the chat room, because this dude named DV in there said, freaky requires action, sexy sexy simply requires looking good. Okay, I got that. I'll go with that. Okay, so Ms. Roses, what is your definitions of the two?
I think I kind of agree with DV on that one.
Okay, well, you can't get away with just agreeing this shit. You're going to have to explain something. All right. So let's go.
I mean, your personality can elude sexiness. I mean, it's not something that you have to do, you know, to be sexy. A person's personality can be sexy, and freaky is just, to me, being uninhibited in the bedroom.
I hear you.
Anything goes.
In the chat room, this person that's in here is so damn smart, Todd. I love this woman. She always comes with these questions, man. Sexy is your entire personnel. It embodies your beauty inside and out, but freaky is all about how you get down. I love that shit. That is the answer.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. Of course, DV had to come back with sexy, what the other person deems as sexy. Freaky, well, that's all-encompassing. Y'all are trying to get all motherfucking analytical and not analytical, but little. Y'all just trying to be literary tonight. What's up with y'all? Anyway, that's good. I like that. So,
Negro, I am on my game tonight.
Y'all are on y'all game, especially, I ain't going to say her name because I don't know if she wants anybody to know, but I tell you what, she's bringing it tonight in the chat room. Okay, so, do you have any more questions for our guest, DV, before we start getting into our other things? Because we got like 28 minutes, and I don't know where Cotton is. She's supposed to be here, but she was. I had texted her so I could see if I can get her on because I wanted to talk to her. She had some stuff she wanted to put out as well. But Roses, you want to tell us how people can get your book? If they wanted to get your book, how can they get it?
It's I When You Lose is available on all the e-readers, Kindle, Nook, iBook. The Sony e-readers, everything. And if they want paperback copies, they can email me at rockythewriter@yahoo.com.
And that's for a signed copy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I should have looked at pictures because, you know, I've been looking at pictures. I know what Meeks looks like. I know she's sexy. I ain't seen you, Rocky. I'm going to have to go out there and
you
take a look and see
me.
I have not. I don't know. The picture that was there, I didn't really go into your. I didn't have time to go into your website there to look and see what's up with you.
So I'm gonna put my. I'm gonna put a photo of me up on Facebook now.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. Okay, now DV,
what's up?
Let's get on this question, man, because I'm intrigued with this shit. You go out on a normal New Year's Eve to have fun and get your freak on. You meet this female. Well, you've been knowing this female for a minute, right?
No.
And
like real talk, I just, like, we just met.
Okay,
and,
okay, you just meet someone. And then
right.
You get this thing going. You find out that she's into this woman, that she's been with this woman for so many years, but she's kind of, like, feeling you a little bit, and you want to get with that, too, but you don't want to get in between it? Or what is it? Or you want them both? Or what's going on? Talk to
no,
us.
I didn't say they all like, no.
Well, shit, why not, man? She like women. Shit, that's a little word.
That's fine and dandy. But no, the dilemma is this. You know, she's still bound to this woman, for lack of a better word. And she's been, but wait, you know, she says she's bi, but she's been basically in a monogamous relationship with another woman for the last 6 years.
So it's not bi. It's completely with this woman.
But that's my thing. You know, at what point, if you spent 6 years with somebody, you know.
But how do you,
know
there wasn't no dick involved during those 6 years, though? It could have been some dick in there somewhere. It's not, might not be continuous dick. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
but it might be some.
If she's
going
to tell me that, she's not going to tell me that the first night. You know what I'm
saying?
Well,
no, I know that.
But
you
no,
can't
no,
assume
my point
that,
is, from what I understand, all right, we'll leave it. We'll
right.
put it down. From what I understand, you know, she's been with this woman for 6 years. You know, and it's just been her and, you know, her and her. So, I mean, here's the problem that I'm having. You know, I understand, okay, yeah, you can be monogamous and everything, but if you've been with a woman for the last 6 years, how can I honestly, you know, establish a relationship with somebody who I know may at some point end up craving another woman along the road?
Okay, so you want her just for yourself. You don't want her to still be with the women and shit. You just want to just be with her yourself, and that's it.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't like, you know, if I don't feel like competition at this point. You know what I'm saying? If it's going to be me and you, then it's going to be me and you. But if it's going to be me, you, and then somewhere along the line, you're like, okay, you know, dick is great, but I need pussy. You know, that's not something that I want to have, you know, come up later in the relationship.
Okay, I got you. So, what do you ladies think about that? I want to get your input. Any one of you ladies can say whatever you want. Any one of you. Minx, you want to go first, or Roses?
Go ahead, Roses.
Goodness. I honestly don't see anything good coming out of that. Like, she's been with her for, what, 6 years?
Right, 6 years.
She's not giving that up.
But that, no. That was my feeling.
Yeah, she can say it until she's blue in the face that she is. She's not. She might invite you in for a little while, but she ain't gonna let you. She ain't gonna get that shit up.
Yeah, I don't think she's gonna give it up.
And let's see, that's my worry because.
And then it depends on the other woman too. You know what I'm saying? Whether she wants you involved.
She seems sincere, you know. She seems sincere. She seems like the type of person. She's like, I'm serious, you know. That's not where I want to go, you know. Blah, you know, yada yada yada. We had our conversation, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, 6 years is a long time to be with somebody the same sex, and then turn around and want something different.
So wait a minute. There's some piece missing here, DV. Is she telling you that she wants to be out of that kind of relationship and be in a male-female relationship? Is that what she's saying?
Yep, that's what she's saying.
Okay, see, I didn't get that part. That wasn't said. We thought that she was just still there and you were just going to talk to her and see if you can bring her out of that. But
no, I'm not trying to, you know, get her to change teams. You know what I'm saying? Because I had just met her. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, you know, we met. It was kind of like a house party type deal.
So is she already been thinking this? Of course, you don't know because you just met her. But my thing is how long has she been pondering the fact of being tired of being in this female thing? And all of a sudden, here you come, and now she wants to get with you?
I think ultimately what she misses is male companionship. You know, and that's what she said. She's like, you know, being with a woman is completely different than being with a man.
And the relationship is different.
Right. You know, yeah. The dynamic is different. And so I was like, okay, you know, I understand all that. But, you know, I didn't want to get too technical. I didn't want to get too political with the conversation on New Year's Eve. So I didn't want to get into the whole mood. That would have killed my buzz. I'm sorry.
Okay, you didn't want to fuck up your buzz, but check this out. What if she wanted to do something then, and would you have not done it because you didn't want to do it? Fuck up your buzz? I mean, what was the thing?
Hypotheticals are hypotheticals. I can't say I would, I can't say I wouldn't. But nothing happened, so I can say that nothing happened. But
right,
I mean, I can't go back in time and say, you know, give an opportunity.
That's a DV answer. I love that shit. But anyway, all right. Well, okay, so are you planning on seeing this person again, or is that it?
Well, like, we exchange numbers. I have her information. I have a means to contact her. She has a means to contact me. But this was something that was weighing on my mind. I was like, okay, well, you know.
Well, I wonder if anybody else is out there in the audience has had this kind of experience or has ran into something of this nature. I mean, we definitely want you to call in. The number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word 6 Radio. We want to kind of hit that. And if you have other questions, we can go into other things. This is just one question that happened to come up. One question I got is completely off the – has nothing to do with none of this shit. That's probably going to be fucked up. But I see you now, Rocky, okay? All right.
None of y'all on this phone better try to take that story idea and run with it, because then I may have to stab you, or I have to give you my
medicine. Okay. So we can't write a book on it. Okay, I got you. Okay, I see the picture, Rocky. Nice, very nice. Okay.
Thank you.
Now, Now let me say, yeah, you are. You got somebody. No, I'm just playing. Let me stop. Anyway, now I gotta let y'all know I do flirt on the show. Okay, I do. If I, you know, I look at you, I be like, yeah, okay. So, and I am single. But okay, check this out. Let me ask you. I didn't forget what I was going to ask. Okay, the question that I was going to talk about, and we're going to come back to you, DV, because we want to get some closure on that, because I don't know. There is no right answer, of course, but we want to kind of get other people's mindset on what that is, you know, what to do in that situation or what they think they might would have done if they were in that situation. But my question is this bullshit on Facebook, this poking shit. Now, let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. I'll put this question out there because some shit that happened to me. I mean, you know how, especially when you got a lot of people like us, we're authors, we have a lot of groupies, a lot of people that poke us and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And I poke some people back. Sometimes I don't know if it's generated by Facebook or these people are actually poking you. You poke them back, whatever. I got a poke from someone, and I poked them back. And then not even 10 minutes, 5 minutes later, this dude comes back to me, do you have a question for both of us? I'm like, what do you mean for both of y'all? Who the fuck are you? I guess because I poked this woman and shit. He wanted to know if I was trying to get with her. So what the fuck does poke mean? That's what I want to. Is that shit means that I want some pussy? What does it mean?
No, it's a means to irritate you uncontrollably.
Well, goddamn.
No, because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Me and Shamor Books, we had a poke war for about a week. And we poked each other between for that week probably
forever.
Like 1,000 times.
And she won't stop poking. Does she do me the same way?
You know, and we was just going at it. We was like, I ain't going to be the one to quit. You
right,
know,
right.
I don't take it.
What the fuck does poke mean? Because to some people it means I'm trying to get with you. To some people it's just, hey, how you doing? Or let's fuck. The poke going back and forth. I ain't even told her that's actually sex.
No,
I'm still trying to figure out what that poke on thing means. So that thing is aggravating to me.
Yeah, it is. But I don't want to lose.
No.
I don't care.
Well,
it's aggravating as all hell, but I don't want to lose.
If you look good, you're going to get a poke from me, okay? But I was just poking back because I got the poke first from that person. So, you know, I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, you know, it was crazy. But anyway, dude came back and said, and I said, dude, I wasn't trying to get with your woman. I don't even know who the fuck she is. He's like, oh, no worries. I was just, you know, didn't know if he had questions for us. I'm like, damn, you checking her damn Facebook
for real? He like, for us.
Damn. I understand, you know, you getting ready to marry her or whatever the fuck. I mean, I don't know. But whatever. Anyway, it just kind of messed me up. So I just wanted to know. I put that question out, and I've been getting a lot of response. So I just was wondering, you know, what the hell that was about. But anyway, that's that. So, but, I'm still intrigued with this question, and I want some answers. I'm trying to get the pink room, the chat room, not the pink room, damn, to give us a response. But now, someone in the chat room says to tell Meeks that they love her cover. Now, which cover are you talking about in the chat room? You need to, which book does Meeks have more? Meeks has more than one book. So,
well,
is it the latest? Is it 305, or is it? Oh, just one book. The 305 is that the first book?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So they love it. Okay. Now we got something on the poking coming from there. They said, I have always taken it as being flirtatious because that's what the fuck it is to me. So I've always hesitated about poking back. You better poke me back next time I poke you. But I do it anyhow. I take it like somebody's giving a high five and leaving them hanging if you don't poke back. Okay. That's cool. Well, I'll be doing it because I'm trying to deal with you, baby. You're fine. Poke. So if y'all get one from me, you know, now I ain't poking no dude, so that's gay. And I had some dudes poke me. I'm like, man,
how
is
that
I ain't
gay.
That's
gay.
Shit,
you
man.
Ain't poking them in real life.
No.
You ain't like, dude, I would have poked you so bad.
Because everybody's definition of poke is different.
No, it's
you
not.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to find out. What's the real reason poke is designed for? It's to get somebody's attention, right? So,
right.
So I don't want to poke a dude. Like, we're going to have Carl Weber on the show. He's my frat brother. He's going to be on here. I've got to tell you, DV. He's coming on, I think, in March. But I ain't poking his ass. I ain't poking that Joel Dickey.
Yeah, that sounds really gay.
You know what I'm saying? I told you it sounds punky.
No, I was like, I ain't poking his ass. I mean, like, who says that?
It does sound nasty the way I said that.
Yeah,
it does. It does sound nasty, but no, I'm not going to poke a guy. Okay? Not poking a guy. Okay, I'm not poking a guy. I hear some. What is it? Is that crying or laughing? What is that?
Yes,
I hear?
That's my daughter.
Oh, okay, okay, it's cool. Is she listening to the show?
Absolutely.
She better not be.
I hope not.
No, it's time for her to go to bed. So Rocky Ray, conversation short.
Mommy ain't giving her enough attention.
Hi.
She wanted to get.
She's about to meet not so nice Rocky.
Okay. So
it's
she wants
so
mommy.
Guys.
She wants some attention.
Thank you.
She wants some attention from mommy. That's what that is. But anyway. We're going back out because the chat room has got some good shit as always. Somebody said they're having a poke war with DV. Who is
I
that?
Don't think that means she want to poke me in the ass.
That ain't the way I took it. And it's a woman, so I don't think, well, there are some women that want to put a dildo on and fuck motherfuckers. We know them, don't we, DB? Anyway.
I know.
Not saying her name. I'm not putting her out. Not putting her out there. But she boldly will do it herself, so I'm not going to say it, though. But anyway, you know, when I meant that, I didn't mean poke his ass, like poke him in the ass for real. I'm talking about I don't want to get his attention with the poke thing, okay? You know, that's just not me. Not trying to do that, you know.
I mean, most people just send a message. So I guess it's just a nice way to say, hey, I notice you. Have a good day. I'm hoping that's what it means.
Well, I'll be trying to get their attention. I'll be like, man. Well, most of the time, if I think you're fine, I'm going to tell you anyway. But
right, but that's what I'm saying. You're going to send a message.
Right, but the poke thing is like, I don't know. I was just trying to get the real, because that really tripped me out when that dude did that. I was like, seriously? Really? I mean, he had to be sitting there next to her with the phone, or even she told him, I got poked by a red snapper or something. I don't know what the fuck.
Was like, what? I'm going to kill that motherfucker.
And he's like, man, let me approach this motherfucker, you know, getting tough on Facebook, like he's really in my face. Why you poke my woman? Or, you know, in so many words, he didn't say that, but did you have something to say to us? I mean, what the fuck is that? How do I know? You know, I don't know. Anyway, your thoughts, anybody out there in radio land, if you want to let us know, the number is 347-215-8539, Word Sexy Radio. All right, so now I have something. Okay, so, Red, is there something you want to tell us? What do you mean, is there something I want to tell you? Chat room. Is there something that I want to tell? I don't know. Because I don't know what they're talking about. But I guess there's something they know that I don't know. So please tell me in the chat room what it is that you're talking about so that I can bring it out. But Minx,
yeah.
Do you get poked a lot? On Facebook, I ain't gonna say in life, because I don't want to get people to get the wrong idea.
I get poked a whole lot. I get poked a lot, and I poke back
so
and get right back. So I saw your little message on Facebook.
You know, you poked me today. Shit, I got poked like you today, and I poked you back. Shit, I mean, it was
but
a poke.
But Mix, that don't mean you want to poke him in the ass, right?
Why you keep saying fuck in the ass? Nobody's.
You said it.
Come on,
I'm
man.
I'm just going to reiterate everything you said because, you know, you my boy, and I got to
keep
what Red say.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Fuck with Red on the first show of the year.
Day of the
I got
year.
You
know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's all
right.
Time. Happy New Year.
Well, you know that. Yeah, I know. But you know something? It's just weird that, that Facebook has got the power that it has anyway. I mean, people be on there venting, and they be doing all kinds of shit, telling their life story, telling them they're going to fuck motherfuckers up and cussing people out and shit. And they even put dead bodies on Facebook. People, and they went to the funeral and took a picture of their family member and shit. I don't understand that. Sometimes you just don't want to see that. That I think that's taking it too far. I saw a little boy on there a couple of weeks ago, and some woman came on there and said, look, I understand your pain, but why are you showing us a picture of your dead brother or son or whoever it was that was in the coffin? You know, I don't, that just take, I mean, what do you think about, what's your take on that?
What are we talking about here?
We're talking about this fucking Facebook bullshit. Okay, now somebody's telling me that I'm secretly homophobic or something because I poked a guy. Who the fuck did I poke that was a guy? Who? I want to know who the fuck. Okay. I'll say her name from the chat room if you don't tell me who the fuck. What did I do wrong? Did I poke a guy? And didn't know it was a guy or something? Secret. What is this secret bullshit? Anyway, all right, look, seriously. So I'm going to ask the ladies again. I'm going to get on their books again because they came over here to talk about their books. Mm-hmm. Now, the new book, Minx, is coming out in February, right? You said March, February, time frame?
Yes, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk about that a little bit? Can you talk about it? Or you can't talk about the book because I don't want you to give it away, but I want you to kind of give an idea.
Give me a synopsis.
And that'll give people, give us a synopsis why they're trying to figure out what the fuck I did on Facebook, this shit, that I don't know what I did.
The whole synopsis, I'm just going to say that part two was worth waiting for, and it's going to be a whole lot harder.
Well, I want part one, baby. And normally I usually read books before people come on, but, you know, this you the first people on the show for the year. You starting it off. And then you're going to be back again. I got you scheduled for April 1st. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we know that's April Fool's Day, but you'll be right here.
Yes, I will.
Yep. So, yeah, we're going to do that. But, yeah, and Miss Rose was supposed to have been coming on the 7th, so now you're not coming, so I got to get somebody else in your place. Unless you think you might. Well, you said you won't be able to make that, but that's fine. She's gone right now, I think. I think she's gone, but she'll be back. Had to put the baby out. But but you know, it's good. So that new book is coming out. And what's new? What else? Are you doing any tours this year?
I haven't started anything yet. I mean, I can say I am working on Miami's first annual Women Against Domestic Violence. I had a meeting about that, and I'm very excited about that. It's going to be very big. I think I heard, what's her name, Rocky Rose, is talking about her situation.
Right,
like,
absolutely.
Wow. So,
okay, so you're doing this woman thing. So what's up? Men can't come to this shit? It's all about women?
Yeah. You know what?
That's
men
sexist.
Go through domestic violence, too, so y'all can come.
Well, they do. I mean, yeah, they get beaten. They get done in, too, but it's not talked about as much. I guess because men feel like they don't want to be looked upon as being a weak-ass man if a woman whooping his ass or verbal abusing him or something. But men go through this thing, too. So, I mean, do y'all address that or just the woman's side of it?
No, we're going to address it all because, yeah, like you said, I mean, me and the people that I'm partnering up with, they both brought it up. The men go through domestic violence as well, so...
Chat room, I'm going to kick y'all ass. No, I'm just saying. Okay, the chat room, they're going to get their ass whooped. Go ahead, baby. I'm sorry. I know you're trying to be serious, and I'm up here bullshitting, but, yeah.
I know, it's okay.
No, it's good, though. I really want to, you know, keep us informed on that so we know what's going on with that, and we'll get you advertised and all that, and definitely break it. When is the time frame that you're thinking about doing that?
Deciding on August because we're going to have some very good people out there and it's all pending on their schedule, but it's going to be an affair to talk about.
Okay. So y'all playing games with me in the chat room, huh, DB?
No comment.
About being sensitive. Sensitive, huh? Okay, all right, okay. Well, it's fine. They got this little private joke they're doing in the chat room to see if they can get me to go crazy and shit by saying I did something. And it worked. It worked. They did. So, but that sounds like a good thing that you're going to do. And like I said, keep us informed on it so we can definitely, you know, get that information out to people who's interested in coming to your event. And are you going to have, like, authors, vendors and stuff like that going on as well?
Yes, definitely. We're going to have vendors, anybody that want to come out and speak or promote their product. I'm anticipating hopefully a crowd of at least 900 to 1,000. So it'll be a good way to, if you want to network and so on.
Okay,
so
and you're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing this on your own? Are you doing this through your company? Or is your publishing company going to do this?
Well, I have my own company called Lady
Nation. Oh, you do?
Lady Nation
okay.
Company, yes. Yeah, I'm starting my sex toy line under that. There's a few surprises. So,
Sex toys.
Yes.
Okay. Not the motherfucking dildos and shit. No.
Oh. Yes.
Man, we were just talking about some people getting poked in the ass, and here you go with the toys.
No, like, hold up, Nora. Norlita has a question in the room. She says she just read a few pages of the book. She said it's really heavy with sex. And do you write it really heavy because sex sells or because this is where you're comfortable?
It's where I'm comfortable at.
She said she was a freak. I ain't going to say how old, but she said she was a freak. So I would assume that that's a comfort.
I'm comfortable with the drama and the sex and all the wild stuff.
So
all,
is it
that
enough?
Whole book is just me. It's my different personality.
So is it enough sex to be a porn movie, or, you know, is there a story somewhere in there?
Yes, because when I had a few people that were trying to turn into a script and they read it, they said, we're going to have to chop this book up because it's a straight-up porn. So I guess. But it's good. It's not too much sex to drown the story out, but it's just enough to keep you wet, keep you coming, and keep you reading. So
there is a storyline. It's not just fuck on this page and the next chapter is fucking again and the next chapter is fucking again.
Okay, put it this
way. So
is there a sex scene in every chapter?
Yes.
If you got to think about it, you might as well say yes. You got to think about it, too. You might as well say yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Even if it's a little rape scene and some drama, there's some sex in there.
Well, what's wrong with that? My books have sex scene in every chapter just about. Well, no, there's a couple that don't, but most of them, you know. Okay, so you have been approached, your books have been, your book has been approached to someone to maybe actually do a screenplay, or are you planning on writing that yourself, or?
No, I actually have someone doing a screenplay now. A few people, like everybody to read it, said, look, this needs to be a movie. So, I mean, we're trying to do a movie trailer and the script and have everything ready because the film festival will be here, I believe, in June.
Okay, so let me ask you, is your book classed as erotica, or is it urban fiction, or is it urban erotica? What do you class it as?
It's classified as urban literature, street lit. But
it's street lit only because of what?
Yeah.
Because of the violence and stuff? But what about the sex piece? So how does that fit?
I believe because of the violence and the certain scenes within it, it's considered as street literature.
Well, what do you call it? Well, you created it. What do you call it? Because you created it.
I call it street literature.
Okay, so the sex is just, so it's not erotica. It's just street lit with a bunch of fucking. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's Miami style. That's Miami style.
Man, I've been to Miami, and
well, I've been to Miami too.
I've been
several
there
several times.
Like, you know, God knows, I went to Cookman, and all I heard was Duval, Dayton, all them going back and forth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I know, you know, and we took a few trips down to Miami, you know, strip clubs for spring break.
Oh, King of Diamonds is my favorite, baby.
Oh, Lord.
That's probably my biggest. That's the biggest.
What do you know about
strip club in the country?
But Red, the first time I ever seen somebody sit on a bottle and pick it up was in Miami. I was
wow.
Oh my God.
Well, I can't say that because the first place I saw that was in Korea back in the 80s. So they late.
Hey, you
I
might be right.
Hide the fucking,
but you know, we like,
in
we
the
like have your age.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm like, that's for real.
You
just gonna take my
time.
You just gonna one up me in front of company.
You,
I see how it is.
Ain't you about 40? How the fuck are you half my age?
Yeah, you just gotta one up me on my in front of company. I see how it is. I'm gonna go ahead and cry in silence.
No, you've been fucking me up in the goddamn chat room. But anyway, go ahead. But yeah, King of Diamonds, that's the shit where you go where all the money's all over the ground, the floor all the time, and motherfuckers don't give a fuck. That's the pussy looks so good up in there. Yeah, we know. All right. But yeah, that's good. So you want to make it into a movie. So
yeah.
When do you anticipate that possibly coming to fruition or coming to life in that area?
This year. I'm making a lot of moves already. My new year has been busy, and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen this year. I'm going to be ready for the film festival. Things don't go the way I want with that, then I'm going to go into a plan B option.
So you want to have it into a movie by the year end or in negotiations for a movie?
In motion by the year's end, yeah.
Okay.
I want everything to be up and moving.
So you've already been talking to some people down there or Hollywood or
yes.
what? Where you kind of take it?
I've been talking to some people down here and some people with Grand Hustle that's owned by T.I. So,
right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
But they, I mean, of course, it needs to be turned around a little bit. Some of the sex, I understand that, but yeah. I was shooting for it to be more of a Maybach thing, you know, like how Jay-Z and them had the whole State Property being that's based on Miami. I kind of want my whole team to represent it, but, you know, everything's up in the air right now, so we'll see.
So not a new Jack City type movie where you got the Carter and everybody's a drug and then they got all this shit going, nothing like that. But
no.
A Miami version, not a Miami Vice thing, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you success in that. I hope you do well in that and, you know, get that going the way you would like it to be because that's a big thing, you know. So the main thing is just being able to get the funding and all that in motion, you know, and getting someone to back you know, to produce it.
Man, ain't that the truth? Because, like, you know what, we hear a lot of people come on the show with big dreams and then they don't have the backing, you know, because they couldn't get it fast enough or they got it too late and you know, things don't turn out the way that they wanted them to.
I'm just a firm believer in, you know, if it's meant to be, it will be. And I just keep pressing on. I work hard at what I do and I just keep pressing on.
I wish you well because, like, it's putting anything together is hard. Hard work. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know.
And then getting other people, you know, getting other people to help you out is even harder. And the worst part is, more often than not, you need those other people because they provide something that you may not have and you may not know about. So it's basically a team of people working towards a goal that you can trust. You know, literally trust with your life. And that's what you're going to need to surround yourself with if you really want to get this thing done.
That's true. Because one of my friends, Rashonda Tate Billingsley, just got a movie done. And, you know, she was 25 books in before they even looked at the first one. This is her first book that they looked at to make a movie. They actually finished it. So it's going to be coming out sometime this year. But the people that was in it, I mean, you got Regina King directed it, and Queen Latifah was the producer, and you know, getting people to look at your stuff, you know, and now they're talking about doing a couple of other books, but you know, it's going to take some time. I mean, I hope that you get it, and I'm not saying you won't, because you got people looking at you right now, so it's going to happen. But the thing is, you know, you've got to be patient with it, and I'm sure that you will get it done, and that's great because everybody can't get that. There's a lot of people, a lot of authors, oh, everybody say my book is a movie, but, you know, to actually get it done is a great thing. So I wish you success in that. Hopefully you'll be able to get it where you want it to be. And there's a question coming to you now from the chat room. How do you feel about the work of Zane compared to E.L. James, who wrote the damn 50 Shades of Grey?
I read both books, and I'm still a Zane fan. To be honest, I know a lot of people might get on me, but I'm compared to both authors. And the one who wrote 50 Shades of Grey, I honestly don't see what the big hype is about that book. I mean, it's good, but to me a good book takes me in from the first chapter. I had to struggle to read that whole book. Like,
and you know, and you're not the only one that has said that.
Grabbed me.
No, you're not the only one that has said that. There's been other people that I know personally and other authors and other just in general fans that have read and they told me that they couldn't get through it because, you know, I mean, that, and some people just, if they like just the type of love story that's supposedly there in that book. It's a 3-book series and it started out as a blog. It wasn't even supposed to be a book. So they put it together and made it to what it is and, you know, now it's going to be a movie. So, I mean, you know, it's something like that can become a movie. You know, this is a woman from England who's not even from here. And I'm not down on her. I'm just giving you the real deal on this. And we have people here, our own folks, putting stuff down, Zane stuff down, everybody's stuff down, so they can read this shit because it's out there. And they're praising it. It just messes me up because we have people that's right here that's already been doing that kind of stuff, writing this kind of thing of color, and we're quick to put our stuff down to pick up somebody else's stuff and say that their stuff is really good and you know, to dog our stuff. So I don't know. I haven't really heard anything. I mean, if you go online and look at some of the reviews on that book, it's over 6,000 reviews on it, but most of them are 3-star reviews. It's mostly 3-star reviews.
Yeah,
but I guess it doesn't matter because it's over 6,000, so it doesn't matter, huh?
Right. Hey, this Christmas, that was the most downloaded title. In fact, it was one of Amazon's biggest gift givers.
Right.
You know,
well, you know, because the hype of it, it's how you market it. It can be garbage, but they hyped it up so much that people are buying it. And it probably is garbage because I haven't read it. I just go by, I've gone by what some people have told me. And like I said, everybody's saying the same thing, so it can't be a lie. But then you got something that just like that. So,
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, her marketing team did exactly what they were supposed to do. You know, they turned a whole hum book into a movie, you know, with options. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
I mean,
the storyline
that they have for that is not a bad thing. But, I mean, how long? I mean, you know, it's about this woman and man who, this man pays his woman to do things, you know, S&M arena. And
well,
they fall in love. Yeah, she's a college student or something. And they turn around and they fall. There's a love thing in this, and she ends up overdoing, you know, taking over him and all this. I don't know the whole story, so I'm not going to say any much more on it. But, you know, I mean, there's enough people out there that like it. So, I mean, when you get the white audience liking your stuff, it's going to happen. So, and that's why I think that when we write, we should always think about not just our people, but write to everyone who reads, because, I mean, you know, if you want to write just urban and stuff, there's just nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, damn, there's other people that read out there. And there's some
right.
writers that read urban
fiction,
too.
It doesn't matter what you – unless you're writing fiction, you know, you're writing to a niche group of people. You know what I'm saying? You basically limit yourself if you're not writing just general fiction. You know what I'm saying? Because erotica is already niche. You know, there are people read it, but then there's some people like, I wouldn't be caught dead with that title. You know,
right.
It just, you know, and the same thing with urban fiction. You know, there are people who simply won't read it simply because it's urban fiction. Same thing with erotica. Same thing with, you know, African American literature. They won't read it simply because it is what it is.
Yeah, and like I said, we talk about this all the time on the show about where we present our stuff, you know, with the skylines and the car and in the front and all this. Everybody's doing
and
the same
money
shit.
And the drugs.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to sit there and everybody's going to be, okay, it's another one of those looks. When is it going to be different? You know, we're doing the same thing, you know, and I think we just need to, you know, work on that.
Well, that
and go out to others besides just our own. We can get our people, but we want to get some people I'm out here to sell books. I'm out here to get people to read my story, not just black people. But that's me. Now, it could be other authors, and maybe that's what they want. They want to only go to that certain genre of folks, and that's fine. So, I mean,
it's never going to change until you get a vetting process, until you teach people that, look, you know, your cover is important. Look, editing is important. Look, having a storyline is important. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
People
absolutely.
People take pride in their works because it is the most intimate part of you. It is a part that you're sharing with the world, even though you kind of really don't want to. So you're always going to take things personally if people say something bad. But
Go ahead and finish your statement, then I'm going to ask you a question. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But until people start realizing that, look, this doesn't just represent you. This represents everyone in your genre. Hell, it represents everyone in your skin color. You know,
absolutely.
Until you take on that persona that, look, I'm representing everybody and I want to do the best, you're going to keep getting, you know, you're going to keep dealing with the knuckleheads and the same regurgitated stories and the same regurgitated you know, covers and whatnot.
Right, and my thing is I want us to be able to show the world that we can write more than just urban or more than just erotica or whatever. We can write anything. And if we can do that, then people, they won't be looking at just the color. We can write anything. you know, like we talked about, one, I think we had a show one time, we were talking about every time they describe a woman in these books is mostly she's a half white or half something, you know.
Yeah, we talked about that.
She's never a pure black woman, a chocolate,
yeah,
beautiful woman. She's always got the green eyes and mixed or some shit. It's got some Latino, something somewhere in there, you know. But
they missed
something. I want to get on this, and we're gonna go ahead and say your statement, and then we're gonna get with the chat.
It's not just an American problem, because you know I was reading an article in Africa where they have actual surgeries to lighten their skin. They do in India, you know.
Right.
So it is not just an us thing. There are people ashamed of being black. So when they have a chance
right.
to write a story, they don't write a person that looks like them. They write a person that's 10 shades lighter, and it's kind of like a slap in the face because I love
right.
dark-skinned women. You know, I love
them. Oh, man,
love,
it's like kryptonite to me. Chocolate is ooh.
And
anyway, I don't
let
me go there.
See that, and it hurts my feelings to see that they're not represented fully as beautiful. And in order to be dark-skinned, you know, there's got to be something wrong with you, and that hurts me to my core because I know that's not the truth.
That's
but
right.
That's how we depict our own people.
Right. Now, the chat room, they said they missed the question about the Zane, and you said they compared you to Zane and E.L. James?
Yes, a lot.
Well, I don't see, okay, to me, and I'm not trying to dog, well, I'm just going to be honest. Like I said, I haven't read the whole book. I've read some pieces, and the chat room agrees that E.L. James is garbage. I mean, she's got all this money. Okay, that's great. It apparently ain't too much garbage because she's getting paid. She made 10.5 million copies sold last year, and 3 books hit the top, sold in 2012, according to the chat room. But I mean, it just depends on, you know, what people feel is garbage or not. I mean,
look, man, I'd love to be that kind of shitty writer.
Shitty
writer
like,
who sells 10 million copies. Let me be that terrible.
So what is the comparison that they're saying because of the hype that she's getting or what?
Yeah, she got a
whole thing. No, I'm talking about with them comparing you to being to these authors. You know, because Zane is supposed to be all that and everything. And then some of Zane's stuff is good now. Don't get me wrong, but... And then some of it, you know, it's hit or miss. It's hit or miss. So it just depends.
Exactly.
So how are you compared is what I'm, yeah.
Well, I got a lot of feedback about Zane. Your book is like Zane. You're like Zane. I guess they feel like my style of as far as the nasty parts of the sex scene is on the level of Zane. But then people say, oh, your storyline is a lot better than some of the stuff he writes. As far
yeah,
as
because they say the same Zane. Thing to me. Okay, your books are like Zane.
Yeah.
They even call me the male Zane. But I think it's because
yeah.
of the sex. And because it's
definitely.
Raw and you're saying he stuck his dick in her ass instead of you saying, you know, using other metaphorical pieces like, you know, his sex or whatever. Because you say it like that, they want to compare you to Zane. So that's what I mean. Is it the style or is it the wording that you're
sex,
using?
I think it's the sex. But as far as the wording, I've read a lot of her books and I try not to, you know what I'm saying, be similar to anybody as far as their sex scenes. I like to be just completely out there. I mean, like, as far as Fifty Shades of Grey, the only reason why I read that book was because everybody kept saying, oh, your book is like Fifty Shades of Grey, you need to get it out there more. And I'm just like, okay. So I finally read the book, and I'm like, what are they talking about? So,
It's the marketing. That's what got that book out there. It's the marketing. Let's just say it again. Marketing. That's what did it. That's what got that book out. This woman is a housewife in England that probably don't know nothing and didn't know it was going to do this. Didn't have no plan for that. But it is out there now. She's rich.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking her. Okay? It might be garbage, but the shit's out there selling and it's going to be a movie. So there's nothing we can do about it, but the marketing is what did it. Look at the book, the covers. You know, all the stuff that she has is just simple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's nothing... I mean, it's just, they felt like it was a taboo thing to do, the people that were reading it, the white folks or whoever were reading it, even some of the black folks who was putting down everybody else's stuff to read this, because they felt like they had to be part of a trend, and that's what it was, a trend. If you can get a trend going with your marketing, you can be like that. And I think that's what it is. And somebody said that John Grisham books are boring as hell, but the market is out on him.
Yeah, I read a few of his books too. Mm.
He's got several movies. Isn't
that
the Pelican Brief and all that shit? Isn't that him?
Mm.
Isn't that him? The Pelican Brief and all those movies?
Yeah.
That's Grisham, right? Yeah. Well, he's a lawyer. You know, he stopped being a lawyer to write. But Okay, well, I think it's how it's marketed. You know, that definitely has a piece to it, too. I mean, like you said, it could be pity, whatever. It could be whatever the name of the book is. But if it's marketed in such a manner, you know, people are going to buy it. And because they want to be part of the trend of saying, I bought this book, I got this book, you know, I did it, too, you know. I got to say, listen, it's good because everybody else says it's good. That's just how it works. So... go ahead, DB.
Oh, no, sorry. Like, I was typing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something. Okay. But, yeah, the chat room was wondering what you thought, because that's why I had to repeat that.
Yeah,
they wanted to know. Okay, let me see. Somebody else just came in, and they said, with 50 Shades, it was a ripoff of Nine and a Half Weeks, which was a woman's journal. Right, even the last name Gray. John Gray was the main master character in Nine and a Half. Okay, that makes sense. Christian Gray, yeah. That's the name of the guy in 50 Shades, okay. She even titled her book starting with a number. Yeah, 9 and a half, 50. Hey, I'm learning some shit tonight. Come on, keep bringing it to us, chat room. And that comes from Candles and Mo, okay. I ain't going to say no Mo. I'm going to leave that. Okay, but yeah, that's interesting. Well, read Scandalous Motives, because that book is out there, and it's crazy as a motherfucker, but nobody wants to say nothing about that. And that's a whole five-book series written by Red Snapper. Oh, wow. Damn. Anyway, yeah. But, you know, we do learn something new every day, and that's really interesting. And you know, it's what it is. Nobody's looking at that it was copied, or not even say it was plagiarized, but it was some instance copied from something else.
It had some strong influences.
Right.
You know, you don't want to get sued. You say plagiarized, they marketing team be like, oh, sue.
Right, absolutely. It's strong in plagiarized. But like I said, she took the idea from something that's already there, you know. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. You know, so yeah, that I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I have to really think. Would I go see the fucking movie when it comes out?
I doubt it.
Okay, why would you not? Because the book is so tired that you don't think that you want to see. Who are they cast in these parts? That's what I want to know. God damn.
Yeah.
And now, is Gray supposed to be black or is he white? Because I've been hearing different stories of guys, a black dude or he's a white guy or with a white woman. It's a black dude with
a white woman.
So how would they cast this, I wonder?
I don't know.
I wonder how they would. You wouldn't want to see Denzel playing that, would you? He wouldn't do it either.
No, I would not, no.
Or Idris Elba and shit, Gray. Some white woman or something like that.
No, because Christian Gray. Freudian slip. Christian Gray is, he's a businessman. You know, and basically she's this college student who, you know, ends up working for him. So, I mean, do I see Denzel playing that role? Not in the least, you know, but,
no,
you know, they're English anyway. So, you know, more like, what's his name? What's this dude, the English
dude? Idris Elba. He's from England.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. He's from England and shit. So, you know, I don't know. Would he be the one? You know, I don't know. Somebody, they can pick somebody. I don't know. But it'd be interesting to see how they cast this and who they're going to have to play the young girl that's in college and all this shit.
Kim Kardashian.
Right.
Black man's kryptonite.
I don't think so.
She's already pregnant by fucking Kanye West.
Man, that's by design. I'm so sick of hearing that shit. Like, she go through all these other black dudes, not pregnant, then all of a sudden she didn't get pregnant by her husband.
Hey, she's still married.
I don't think so.
Yeah, the motherfucker's still married. Yeah. But That's great. She got pregnant by Kanye West. Ain't pregnant. Ain't pregnant. Somebody else's wife. Anyway, we ain't going to talk about that. We'll leave that shit alone. But I'm going to tell you what I thought was good this weekend, since we talked about movies and shit real quick, and then we're going to get back to the deal. But that damn Django, that motherfucking movie is off the chain.
If you haven't seen it,
I heard about it. I
You need to. They got this scene. I don't know if it's really him, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to fuck it up so women can go on or not. This movie is for y'all. Tarantino is a tight motherfucker. That dude, if I wanted to do a crazy movie, I sure would get him to do it. Because that motherfucker is smart. Okay. He got this scene in there where he's got Jamie Foxx, or it's supposed to be his character. I don't know if it's really him because it could be a stunt dude. But he's upside down and his fucking dick is out and shit. So all the women can go see this part with his dick hanging out. And, of course, whoever the person is, this motherfucker's dick is long as a motherfucker. And all these women is going there just so they can see this one scene in the movie, which is a 2-hour and 45-minute movie. And it keeps you going from beginning to end. The movie is excellent. It's superb. Okay? But that scene has got everybody fucked up. And that's what they're talking about. So...
So they should have called the movie Jang-a-Lang. That was what it really should be.
That's what it should have called.
Django and Chain. This is called Jang-a-Lang.
But you know, I'm going to tell you, my girl in that movie, boy, and I know she's doing scandal and shit, but that motherfucker's fine. They had her ass naked up in that motherfucker, too, and she was looking good. But anyway, I think you should go see that movie. I wish it would get something. I don't know if it will get anything, but I tell you what. And Samuel L. Jackson played.
All the white people in the movie been nominated for Golden Globes. The black people ain't been nominated for shit.
Wow. Well, you know, Samuel L. Jackson played the Uncle Tom of the Year in that movie. I ain't lying. He reminded me. What's that old man in that little cartoon, the Doom Docs? That old man. What's his name? That's what he looked like and shit. Uncle Ruckus. Grandpa. Yeah, that's what he looked like. Uncle Ruckus. And they had his one eye bigger than the other and everything. He showed a close up with his motherfucker. He was just. I'm serious. That shit was crazy. But that's a great movie.
Yeah. I wouldn't know either, man. I ain't going
But I know a lot of people don't want to see the movie because it's dealing with slavery and stuff like that. But, you know, my take on
my thing is, it take a white dude to write a movie about slavery for everybody to be like, hey, I need to go see that.
But
you know what I'm saying? Like,
this.
For real?
Let's do what I think. Okay, I know a lot of people hate that era of time and what things we went through. But that history is not just black history. That's white folks need to know that shit, too. They're the ones that keep running away from it. They need to and take it in. Only way it's going to be a healing is we all went and take this shit in and go for it. Okay, the word nigger's in there all the time and all this blah, blah, blah. But this was 2 years before the Civil War, the time frame. So, yes, a lot of shit going on. But it's our history. We need to go ahead and face it. Stop. I mean, look at this. This is 2013, and we still fucked up. And we got a black president, we still fucked up. But still, the thing is, you know, people have their choices. They don't want to see it. That's fine. But the thing is, I just think that, you know, the movie was great, not only because of what was going on, but there was some revenge. He got a lot of revenge in this movie. You know, a lot of shit was going on. Leonardo DiCaprio played a crazy motherfucker, okay? But I just think that it was a good movie. And it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. But I loved it, and I'm going to see it again on Friday. So, yeah, but... back to what we're okay, and of course I love the channel. They bring out so much good shit. 30% of black people owned slaves in Louisiana. You damn right they did. See, a lot of people don't know that Indians own slaves. Like everybody tell me, I got Indian, I'm Cherokee, and all this. You know how you got that blood? You was owned by an Indian. And a lot of times when they owned you, they didn't own you and do things to you like the English white man
people
was doing.
People say they Indian because they don't like saying they black. They got to create.
But you know, they got to have some kind of piece in there, the hot cheekbones or whatever. But anyway, I'm just saying, there was some of that going on where they didn't intermix. You know, they bought slaves and stuff, but they used them for different reasons than what others did, because it didn't become they were beating them and stuff until the English got involved with them in the colonies. When they had slaves in the other places like in Haiti and stuff like that, there was some stuff going on, but it wasn't. Extremists. Well, it was because you had what's my man? I can't even think of his name right now. Who did the rebellion? But anyway, it was a lot of shit going on. We're getting off the.
About Nat Turner.
No, not Nat Turner. He had a French name. I can't think of his name. A brother who. I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, he. I want to say Baptiste or something like that. But anyway, you know, he did the rebellion down there, and that's how they rebelled out of Haiti and stuff. But
you're talking about Haiti.
Yeah. But, you know, that like I said, the movie, My girl, she is so, I love her, man. She always brings some great shit. Okay, right, it's, okay, this is what she said about the movie. It's more than just being about slavery. It's about a white man reaping benefits from our history. You're right. And Noon Black and getting any credit. They have 5 Globe nominations, and none of them are for black actors and actresses. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
That's amazing. What did the whites do in the fucking movie? I mean, I saw the movie. They were just being white. They calling everybody nigga. Okay. All right. So Jamie Foxx and none of them got nominated. Interesting. All right. Well, like I said, the chat room always does it. They always bring it. And I love it. So, but yeah, I don't know. I hope you get the movie. And we were talking about 50 Shades, Who Could Be the Woman. Somebody was saying Alba. I guess that's Jessica Alba could spank me black. But who was that? Who said that? Whoever was saying they like Alba to spank them black and blue. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, she's white anyway, isn't she? Is she white?
She who?
Jessica Alba. Not the other
Alba.
There's two of them.
No, she has
There's two of them.
No, like, I was reading somewhere that she has a, her dad is I don't want to say black, but, God damn.
He's some African descent or something, huh?
Like,
some type of.
I know he's non-white.
And that's where she get the name from? And, okay. So, all right, so Meeks, let me ask you this. Since you're going to
have
this
movie.
Yeah,
her father is Mexican, and her mom is French-Canadian.
Okay, so you're going to have this movie. Have you decided or have you thought about, oh, they said, oh, not Jessica, Idris Elba. Okay, we got it now, the guy. The Englishman. Okay.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
it was spelled Alba, like A-I, you know, A-L-B-A. So I thought the woman.
No.
So, I mean, but now they got him. His ass. His chocolate
ass.
I
know what she meant. Idris Elba.
I didn't know shit. Okay, here we go. Now, let's get back to my question to Miss Minx, because I guess Miss Roses had to go put the baby to bed. But making this movie, who have you looked at or thought about, if you could, to play certain roles in your book? Who would you have play certain people?
Well, to be honest, I wanted, like, a lot of
T.I.
people.
T.I.
got to
be somebody. T.I. got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah,
that
no,
motherfucker can act.
But,
he can act his ass off, I think.
He can. Oh, I don't know. Actually, I haven't thought about it. I had a lot of suggestions.
Most
Depp
would be a great actor or something.
Yeah,
okay,
is.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Who you suggest? Because you know your characters. You know your characters. So, like I said, when you came up with this book and you wrote them, like when I write, sometimes I might, like, I wrote a character based off of what I've seen Blair Underwood play when he always played them fuck up ass husbands that be beating his wives and shit. You know, I got this guy named Brian in one of my books, and when I wrote that character, I wrote it just like it was his ass playing the part.
Okay.
So, what did you do?
These characters are mostly based on people that I know personally in life, not just...
Okay, songs. Then who would you have play the parts? Who? Uncle John on the corner?
Leroy.
Leroy Pitson. Roscoe Jones and shit on
Leroy
the corner.
Leroy, you know, that smoked out dude on the corner.
Yeah, you know, a motherfucking... Who would you have? You don't have to know who they are, just tell
particular. I don't have any particular person in mind. I really don't.
Oh, you
because
playing us.
Characters.
She's playing us, man. Why she playing us, man?
I don't have anybody that, you know, I would say, okay,
she's talking about she got a movie coming out.
Now,
she got a movie coming out. Oh, no, we're going to use him. Why you on him? Because he's chocolate? What about Tyrese's ass?
No, Tyrese is not cute to me. He never has been.
What? I can't believe you said that. Y'all heard it on Weird Sexy Radio. Because I agree.
Tyrese has a nice body, but he's not handsome to me. He has a nice body, and that's as far as it goes. And to be honest, I really don't like his acting skills.
Okay.
I was traumatized by Baby Boy.
Well, you know, that part was written for Tupac, but he was dead. Of course, he couldn't play it.
Okay. Well,
Tupac was supposed to be in that part.
Okay. Well, I didn't really like his acting skills in that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
but,
so when you come back on the show next time,
mm-hmm.
hopefully you'll have a movie deal already set and you can tell us who's going to be playing who and shit.
Yeah, hopefully everything will be going. The sex for now, everything I got planned, I'm going to let y'all know.
Okay.
My son's doing the
hog
dance,
what's
that? So
I'm going to
head off.
Okay. So, DV, I'm going to ask you, you say you're going to leave?
Huh?
You said what?
Did you say you was going to leave?
Yeah, in a minute. My son doing a hungry dance in my face.
Oh, he's hungry. Okay, well, we thank you for coming on the show. We thank you for being here. And you
might do
a hungry dance.
Can I get something to eat?
I'll definitely be back. Yeah, if you was here, I'd definitely cook you some.
Oh.
He ain't chocolate, though.
He ain't chocolate.
He ain't chocolate. You don't think
nah.
that? I know I won't get no food because I look like a house nigga like a motherfucker, so I know I won't get
shit. Like, make your own food, Whitey.
But thank you for coming on the show.
I'll be contacting you soon.
Okay, all right.
Okay, I'll be posting
later
on.
Okay, no problem. So what we gonna do now, DV? We got 29 minutes, DV. We gonna talk some more about that subject because I'm intrigued with that about you and the situation.
Man, you smash it, man. I can hear you crunching everything.
I know. I'm going to start doing it. But look, let me tell you. I couldn't
like,
do it. You
really?
Started talking about food and shit. But check this out, though. Really.
What's up?
Now, what are you going to do about that? Because it sounds like you like this person.
I'm not going to sound like her. What I am going to say
is... Well, you're interested. You're interested in her,
right? Right. I mean... That, I was kind of looking for some input, somebody who wasn't part of the situation to give me some added perspective.
Well, you know what I would do? What I would do, DV, personally, if it was me, and of course you ain't got to do what I do, but I'm just saying, and I want to get some of the chat room people because the women, I know they know what to do on this. But my thing is, I would try to find a little bit more from her where she really stands. But... like you said, you already kind of know that she ain't going to... It could be... I mean, you never know. You can't say just because she was with somebody for 6 years doesn't mean that she's not going to change and not go to that again. I mean, you never know.
But, okay, let me ask a woman this. If she was with a dude who was bi, he had been with another dude for 6 years, and he was like, you know, I'm tired of being with dudes, I want to be with a woman, then could you take him seriously?
That's a good question. We don't have no women on the show no more. It's just me and you. So
that's what I'm saying.
We need to ask the chat room. If I wish one of them would call in, the one who is always verbal, but please call in so we can get your feedback on that. We got like 27 minutes. Please call. The number is 347-215-8539. It's the Word Sexy Radio, and we want to get some input on this question. If you met someone... and they were in a relationship with the same sex for 6 years, and they told you that they were interested in you, would you trust them and believe that they are going to be just interested in you and not go back to that? So, look, come on, call me right now, lady. You know who I'm talking to. Call in, please. The number is 347-215-8539. We need you to talk. Oh, don't say no. Okay, she don't want to call me. All right.
She already said she cool hiding behind the keyboard.
I know that. I don't know why she don't want to come on and talk for just a minute. We need to get... okay, well, tell us your truth on the line. But see, I want people to hear, because I can't be talking to the chat room. I need
right.
to...
No, we were talking about black people owning stuff.
Okay. Well, let's do that then. But, you know, like I said, the movie was good. I know a lot of people don't want to see it because of the slavery and stuff. And there's some scenes in there that's real graphic, but they didn't really get real deep in it. They did. I mean, there was some stuff in it, but I don't know. It was just, I just thought it was a good movie. The acting wasn't terrible, and what I like about it, because I used to watch those spaghetti, what we call spaghetti westerns, you know, a lot of the Clint Eastwood old Italian, you know, stuff. And
right.
You know, it was really good. Now, we got another caller. I don't know if they want to speak, but I'm going to bring them in. There's 713 area code. Say your name, where you're calling from.
That's Melody.
Hey, how you doing? This is Donna, or basically
oh,
Mo.
Oh, hey.
How you
hey,
doing?
How are you?
Oh, good as gold.
Okay, so are you going to help us out right now for the last 25 minutes here? And,
well, the thing is, the problem is with honesty, with all things,
uh-huh.
You just can't have it. You just, as much as we'd like to have honesty in our relationships going into it, we don't want to. We don't want it. We really don't. I mean, personally, it's like I used to be bisexual, but sometimes it's on the weekend. Sometimes it's not at all. You know, sometimes I'm completely straight. It's according to who I'm in front of. And so I can't. I mean, if a guy came to me and said, hey, well, I was with someone for 6 months and now I'm with you. And that's just way too much honesty. Because to me, all I hear is, you're going to leave me soon.
Wow.
And so with that in my mind, I just can't, you know, get involved if that's where I'm going for. But if you're thinking about just something strictly sexual, then you want to be honest. You want to go ahead and do that. But if you want a relationship, you want to lie.
So who is this again? Who is this? Who is this again? Because this is a sexy voice. Who is this again?
Oh, my God.
No, seriously, really, I'm serious.
Remember it? This was the candles and though with Indigo.
Oh, okay, baby. I'm just trying to. I'm good. Okay. Well, so you're saying that she should have came to him with, well, you know, let's just see where it goes and not tell the whole truth. But coming on out and saying I'm through with being with women and I want to be with you, that's too much shit.
That's too much. I mean, it's like going out with someone who says I quit drinking. You just went through a major lifestyle change. You're not used to yourself yet.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes a whole lot of sense.
And that was my perspective.
Well, damn, DB, you a smart motherfucker, ain't you?
I was telling Norlita, you know, you don't, the very first person, no matter how much you want it to work, you are still the rebound. You know, you are still the person that they are adjusting with. And if they decide they're not ready for that adjustment, then guess what? Then you're the person that gets left behind.
Right, because if they decided, okay, so in her case, she tries you, then she finds that she wants to go back to that. How do you stop her from going back? Is what you're saying.
And let's say you've already established a rapport. In fact, y'all may be in a relationship, and she may just sit down and say, you know what, this was really cool, it was really therapeutic, cathartic, whatever you want to say. But
I
want
to go back to eat pussy.
Right.
Right.
I need my coochie ate.
But then again, some people don't want to go any deeper than what you said. They'll leave it at that, and that's the only level that you'll be on. And you're deeper than that. You're more than that. But that's all they'll ever hear. Years from now, that's, you know, basically that's where they stop listening.
And I love her voice. Anyway, yeah, that's interesting. Very interesting. But I just, you know, I really wanted to get a good answer or something close to what makes sense, and this is definitely what we need. And the woman's perspective on that is really good. So Dee, I guess what your mind is telling you is probably right, Dan. That to don't get serious. If you do get into a relationship with her, just kind of keep your feelings on hold and just kind of see where she is. You know, or just don't do it at all. You know. But apparently you're interested enough to ask a question on the radio show about this.
Perspective.
But I'm saying you're interested enough to get the perspective. Because if you didn't give a fuck, you'd have been like, nah, I ain't gonna. It's not even worth talking about, right?
You know, but sometimes it helps to have somebody who's not in the same box that you are.
You want a neutral person, a neutral,
you know, somebody else's perspective, because you're seeing things from one point of view and you're like, okay, well, I wonder if anybody else shares this. So, you know, you open up so that you can hear a bunch of other people's different perspectives to see not only if they mesh with your own, but if there's something that they say that can be profound enough to make you change your perceptions.
Right, right. Understand. Well, you know, it's kind of bad because to even meet someone in that situation, and I mean, that's just like meeting somebody that's married in a way. You know, they think that they want to get away from this person. They've been having them real problems with them. They're separated, but they are not divorced. Or they can even be divorced, but they still have feelings for that person. They get with you, and then they find out later they want to go back to that person.
Right.
So they leave you and go back. Kind of the same thing, huh? Well,
what's your take on that?
I mean,
you know how it is. You always worry, you know, as a man, you worry that if you're not doing the thing, the right things for your woman, that, you know, she may find another man. But now you also have the added, I don't even know what I want to say. I don't want to say anything negative or, you know.
The advantage of a woman eating pussy better than you. Okay.
So not only that, but she may say, okay, you know, you're a great guy. I need another guy. Or she, you're a great guy. I need another woman. You know what I'm saying? So now you have to fight back not only, you know, other capable men, but other capable women.
So what if she says that you're a great guy, but I need to have a woman involved with us too?
Honestly,
I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave you, but I want to have a woman too. So how does she bring it in?
Me
personally, you said honestly it doesn't work, but how does she bring it in and so that it won't tear up everything?
But
my thing about menage a trois is somebody's going to get more than the other, and somebody's going to end up leaving somebody for the other.
But
that happens all the time.
If you have that type of relationship and there's an understanding from the very beginning that women can come, you know, in and out of your relationship, then that's perfect for whatever you want. But if you have it established that, you know, you believe in monogamy or that, you know, you're the only person and I only want to be with you, you only want to be with me, and then you try to add somebody later, then that creates a problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying. My friend here, our beautiful voice lady that's speaking, is saying that honesty is a problem. So
honestly, it's a huge problem.
If you
want to
get laid.
Personally, I've been married twice. And my first husband, no, I didn't tell a doggone thing. I found out he was the freak in the family, which was fine with me, but, you know, he wasn't my type. Either way, I went to my next husband. My next husband, unfortunately, as wonderful as that relationship was, I told him the truth about me. I go, well, you know, I like women sometimes, and, you know, I like this person sometimes. And it's, he just kind of didn't let that sink in, and that ruined a good relationship. And I'm just thinking, if I went into that entire relationship lying to him and said, you are the only one, you're the only person I'm interested in, and you're the only kind of person I've ever been interested in, I've never had a woman in my entire life. If I would have been in a relationship like this, I would have lasted longer. It would have been happier.
But the thing is it's still a lie, though. You're going to be secretly going to do stuff away from this guy.
Or
so is that
crazy.
Too?
Look.
Everybody
does.
Is
that too?
Everybody does.
Everybody does.
Everybody does.
I mean, every woman that I knew growing up, even married, I mean, we've all have girlfriends and boyfriends. We know everybody's business, but except for their spouse or their husband. And so
can you tell me
everybody does.
Everybody automatically fucks around.
Yes.
That's what you said. I love you.
Yes.
I should have been married to your ass. I've been married 3 times. I fucked around all 3 of them motherfuckers.
I've been married twice, and I only confessed to one.
No, but my point is.
But I never got caught, though. I never got caught by none of them.
The dynamic of the relationship completely changes by the time you get married. Because by that time, everybody's kind of set in their ways, you know, and there's very little flexibility when it comes to adding another person into the bedroom. If you've talked about this beforehand, then you give him or her the option of saying, okay, this is something I want to continue with, or this is something that I'm not going to continue with. You take away that option whenever you don't say anything from the beginning.
Well, maybe I'm old school. I'm old school where I separate my lovers. My husband is the one that I respect. I'm not going to put my husband in a threesome. I'm going to put my boyfriend.
You sound like a man, kid. I like
that
shit. That shit is tight. I like
that. Like, I love you, but I'm fucking her.
Right.
Is that cool?
Right. Well,
I mean that's fine.
Because I was in a situation where I was in love with two women at once. Fucking them both.
if if he or she can stand that, if there's a wife out there that's like, yeah, I let my husband, you know, mess around with other dudes, and that's perfectly fine, then more power to her, or vice versa. If a wife says, yeah, I let my husband sleep with the occasional woman, yeah, you know, fine. But that's if you understand what the dynamic over your relationship is. You can't really say it's a relationship if you're keeping one a secret from the other.
That's not true, though, because if you're telling the truth to someone, it just makes it easier for you. And not only easier for the other person, it's making it easier for you. The thing
right,
is, when love comes in, the love part is keeping that lie up, loving that person beyond, never letting them touch that world. You know, it's like keeping this part pure and you know, and separate.
That sounds like the thrill for
so
you.
Wait,
that shit quiet.
Then,
you like that
good
shit
for the
who's quiet.
For the gander then, right? If he says, okay, well, I love you, and it's perfectly acceptable if you want to sleep with women, I want to sleep with other women too. Is that something that is perfectly
that
fine with you?
That conversation should never come up in love.
But wait, it should always come up. Yes, listen to this double standard. This is clearly a double standard.
No. What she's saying is keep that shit taken to the grave. Just fuck who you
exactly.
want to on the side and leave it
Thank
alone.
You.
There you go. That's
no.
it.
Because
I'm with you on that, baby. I'm with you.
Because, yeah, and then we see why both of y'all divorced. This is bad. This is not
you
a good thing.
I'm going to tell you why I'm divorced, because I wanted to be divorced. I divorced
right.
all three wives.
You, but you
I
already said you was like, shit,
married.
I was fucking around on them when I was married.
I did, but they didn't divorce me.
But my point
them.
Is this. If you establish that, if you like, look, you know, you save everybody a lot of headache whenever. Now, I'm not saying tell them everything. You tell them your whole life story, but you at least need to let them know what you require sexually. You know what I'm saying? That is the we all grow, our appetites grow.
But
the things
I don't
that
think
we
that's
like
what
doing
she's
change. But
well,
you
well,
have
well,
to
that's
let
not what she's saying. Though. I mean, she is, but she ain't saying that.
But,
she just saying.
But then that's just like
you know,
me going into a relationship. But wait,
no.
wait. This is like okay. That's like you going into a relationship saying, you know, oh, I hate anal sex. And then halfway through the relationship, you're like, I need anal sex. And you were the woman who's abject, who's against everything anal. You know what I'm saying? You've already ruined the relationship because you didn't establish you what the criteria was from the beginning. If you
no,
had done that, maybe you'd have found somebody who
is.
You could have been happy with.
No, listen. You know how you solve that? You find somebody who likes anal and you fuck them.
Oh, see.
That's what you do. You fuck them in the ass and you go home.
There's just no talking to y'all tonight. Y'all
no,
terrible.
Seriously.
Terrible,
no,
terrible people.
Everybody's an honest relationship with someone, but you want to have your relationship turn into a therapy session instead of having your relationship turn into a happy place of love. And peace.
It is a happy place of love, but first there has to be at least some degree of truth and honesty.
You are. You're being honest by not hurting them.
Yeah,
by
that's
not
hurting them because you know
like
what. Because the thing is, you have to hurt them because at some point they're going to find out whether they want to or not.
Not really.
Yeah, because one time you're going
to
slip up. No,
no, no, no.
There's no perfect individual on planet Earth. You're going to slip up.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's almost inevitability.
But
the
thing
is when you do slip up, it's because you want to slip up and you're tired of it.
Absolutely.
But my point is, it doesn't matter whether it's voluntary or involuntary. You're going to slip up. You know what I'm saying? And then the heartache comes along. Had you would establish that from the beginning, the person would already knew the boundaries they working with.
That's such a romantic.
With.
That's so sweet.
No, let Dean fool you. That motherfucker is not a romantic. She just saw that shit on the damn show.
No, you know what? I'm old school romance, all right? I'm old school.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, man. My marriage is worked because I didn't tell the truth all the time. I told you, I divorced because I got tired of being married. That was me. And I like doing what I do, so... That's just the way it went.
But see, your relationships, like we from your own words, they kind of failed because at the same, when you found out that you wasn't getting what you needed, then you came and told the truth. It's like, okay, well, I'm not getting what I need from you. I'm getting it from somebody else. It's kind of like the Brenda got a big old butt. You know I told you I'd be true. Brenda got a big old butt, so I'm leaving you.
Well, you know something? I was married the first time for 11 years, second time for 9, and the third time for 7. So it must have been something there that kept me there for a while. But I'm going to tell you what really did it. When I was out doing my other excursions, too, that helped me, to keep me going. Because all of them ain't going to do what you want.
But see, if you believe
so
that,
what
if you honestly believe that it was the other thing that kept you together, your relationship was destroyed. If you couldn't find what you needed
anyway.
Inside
but,
the relationship.
Well, I did, to a point, everybody's not going to give me everything. Go ahead.
I mean, with every person that you get involved with, you grow a little bit. And if you stay with one person, there's a lot of growth that you're missing. And if you stay with one sex, there's a lot of growth that you're missing. So you need to venture out.
Well, I don't know about that shit, because I ain't fucking no nigga ass.
I'm about
me.
To say, hey, Red,
so,
you missing a lot of growth.
Man. No, that's what I don't agree with. But for you, baby, it's sexy. Go on,
you can let him grow inside of you. I mean, grow with you.
We can do all that. But I'm not going to, I ain't sucking no dick, and I ain't taking none of my ass. Okay?
I'm going to grow inside of you.
Gay
no,
porn
I don't
is pretty sexy.
For you it is, baby. I like when it's women gay porn, when it's two women shit.
Everybody has this belief that people can't take it when they honestly, more often than not, they can. The people who can't take it are the people who you need to respect because they know their boundaries. You know what I'm saying? But
you know,
need to at least give people the option. You take away that option when you don't tell them.
All that sounds good, but that's just like a nigga that meets a woman and he don't want to let her know that all he wanted is some pussy. You ain't telling her the truth. You do all the shit you got to do to get that.
But wait, how often do we really
tell
him?
How often
do we tell that man to be honest? If you just want some pussy, say, I want some pussy. Don't play the game. But wait, you saying it's perfectly. Now all of a sudden you're doing a 180.
No, I'm not saying it. Listen, I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that that's what people do. I didn't say it was right. I said that's what people do. It's just like when a guy does that.
We're talking about right and wrong. We're not talking about what people do. We're talking about the right way to do things and the wrong way to do things.
Look,
because
man,
people do
want to
tell
DV, if you want to tell your woman that you just want to be with her and you want to fuck with nobody else, fine. I'm gonna do what I do. I ain't gonna tell all my business. I'm putting all that. There's people I fuck that I will never tell nobody I fuck because I don't want nobody to know. Because if they did, it caused all kinds of chaos. I'm not going to kill it. I'm taking it to the grave. So, you know, it just depends on the situation. You know, if you want to tell all your business, fine. She agrees. I agree with her to a point. Don't tell it all, because sometimes being honest will fuck it up. But it just depends on the situation. It's case by case. Okay?
I agree with that.
So if you want to tell somebody everything because you love them and you want to really be with them, you want to tell them that you shit a certain way and you wipe your ass like this and your balls got to be turned a certain way.
I didn't say get to that level.
You know,
I ain't saying all that.
I mean, you know what?
I fart occasionally when I'm sleeping.
You know, I ain't going to do that shit.
Okay,
you know?
That
shit ain't happening, so I'm just letting you know.
No, but my contention is this. That my philosophy has always been like this. In order to have a true equilibrium, you have to give a little of yourself. And sometimes, you know, if that person doesn't understand that, then they're not the person you're supposed to be with. You know, the person that you need to be with is the person who understands that you are who you are, and they accept that. But if you take that decision away from them, if you take the opportunity for them to decide, then that's not a relationship. You're just there, and they're just there.
Go ahead, baby. Go on and respond, because I know you got one.
I think we lost her. Did we lose her?
No, she's still here.
I'm here. I just
changed
gears. I'm sorry, I missed the entire question.
He went through this tangent of his philosophy and superfluities and shit that he always go through about the right
way
of being, whatever, you know, and all that shit. In other words, he's saying that it ain't a relationship unless you tell it all. Go ahead and say
I
ain't going to speak for you. Go ahead, say it.
I didn't say that.
We got 5 minutes. Go ahead and say it real quick.
It just becomes a therapy session, and you want that mystery that it lasts longer. If you say everything, then you can prejudge anything that you're going to say after that.
But, Donna, let me ask you something. Have you given somebody the option of knowing who you are fully? The opportunity to know that, look, before I'm talking at the start of a relationship, you sat up there and you said, look, I like women and I like men. And if you're going to be with me, you need to understand that. Have you been with somebody who says, fine, I can accept you for that? Or have you even told anybody, you know, that's who you are?
Absolutely. It's my best friend, and she's with her husband. But, you know, it's like the thing is, her husband doesn't know her like I do. My husband doesn't know me like she does. It's
I want to see what you look like, too, man. What you look like? Are you on Facebook? I need to see what you look like.
I'm on Facebook all day. I'm Donna.
You who?
My point is that if you want an actual relationship, there has to be some ebb and there has to be some flow. And you, in order to at least establish a rapport with somebody, you have to let them know a little bit about who you truly are. You can't stay hidden behind. You can't stay hidden in the shell and say, I'm in a relationship.
I want to see what a picture of her looks like. She said her name, but I can't get it. She said something. Okay. So let me ask you this. Are you going to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, when you first meet somebody, if you really like them?
Like, there's no such thing. That, the truth about somebody has to be learned along the way. But I get
okay,
it.
Okay, so, but I'm talking about as far as your sexual preference. Your sexual preference is what you like and dislike in a sexual relationship.
I think that's kind of gauche to tell people, you know, straight up, you know, the first time you meet them what you like. I ain't talking about the first day.
I'm not talking about the first day. I'm talking about
I put it this way. By the time I consider a relationship, yes, they know what I like sexually.
Okay.
If we just kicking it, then, you know, like I said, you don't tell everything to everybody. If we just kicking it, then no. But by the time there's a relationship established, you know, they know.
So what is just kicking it? Just kicking it is what, fucking for a minute and then what? There's still a relationship. There's still going to be some feelings involved. So when does that, you see what I mean?
But see, there, you don't tell everybody everything at the beginning. There is a growth curve. You know what I'm saying? And that
okay.
I understand. But,
so,
but
okay.
I'm not going to marry somebody who doesn't know me. And that
I
have
you.
To hide a major percentage of who I am from them.
Okay. We got 3 minutes, sweetheart. Say something.
Oh, I'm just thinking about what he said.
Okay, so respond, please.
I have no response to that, other than the fact that I don't think people are ready for that sort or that high of a level. Of a relationship, well, I'll think this world prepared for it. Maybe
you
individually,
can't say that
yeah.
Until you actually give them the opportunity. You know, we can say whatever we want about the other person, but until we give them the opportunity, you know, we can't say who they, you know, what they really are. Because if you came up to Red and you didn't tell him this at the beginning, and then having a relationship, you're like, okay, well, I like women. You know, Red, like, why you ain't said that shit at the beginning? We could have been getting down from the beginning.
Because
you know,
this is his business, and it has nothing to do with him. I mean,
well,
the thing
I mean,
is,
like,
what I do with women.
So, in other words, it's not about you, Red. It's about her.
The thing is,
it ain't about you, buddy. It's about what
my
you
my girlfriend, it has nothing to do with my boyfriend. They have nothing to do with each other. It's a separate bed, separate sheets, separate thing.
Wow.
It's not a group thing, so it's none of his
business. I want to see what you look like.
Oh, my God.
I just want to know what you look
you,
like.
Why don't you just ask if she write books so we can get her on the show?
Do you write books, maybe?
No, actually, I write articles, just articles.
Well, you still come on. You're on the show now. Yeah, well, we really appreciate you calling in and bringing your views.
Indeed.
And you know, this is a great first show for the year. I don't know what happened to Cotton, but... We're about to wrap this up because we only got like a minute left, but I appreciate you. And
I'm so
you
glad
know,
you're
please.
On Wednesday night instead of Monday.
Well, you know, it's going to be Monday next time from now on. It was just Wednesday because you know, the New Year's Eve and stuff to this week. So, but we will be back. So will you be able to come back on a Monday?
I hope so. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills comes on that day.
You can't even put the DVR to shit. You got to see it live. You can't put the shit on DVR. God damn.
You know what? I have TiVo now. I got TiVo for Christmas. I'm so lucky.
Okay. So we need to work that. We want you to come on, sweetheart. So, but we appreciate you. So, but DV, thanks, man. I'm glad you made it to 2013 and both of you. And we're definitely going to be coming back and doing our thing, but I got to go because it's about done. So we'll be talking to you next Monday. We're going to have, I forget who's coming on the show. Let's see, we got, it's supposed to be Nigel Ward is supposed to be coming on. It was supposed to be Rocky Rhodes, but she was on tonight, so we'll have to see if we get somebody else. And if you want to, sweetheart, you can come back. We'll talk. We got more subjects, and I'm sure you'll be ready for them.
Will do.
All right,
guys.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and we'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah, have a good night.
Have a good night.
Death to us, I'm standing next to you.
Forever the mighty love.